Okay, so tonight's topic is called After the Six-Day War, May We Ascend Har Habayit. After the Six-Day War, we confronted this question that now we, the Jewish people, are in possession of Har Habayit. Now the Temple Mount is ours. And the question is, according to Jewish law, are we allowed to go up on Har Habayit? Now the Temple Mount has been in the news a lot. Many of the skirmishes, fights between the Israelis and their Arab neighbors have come as a result of someone going up on the Har HaBayit. Ariel Sharon went up on Har HaBayit, and that led to a big issue. Just this past week, Ivanka Trump tweeted that it's such a pleasure to be here at Judaism's holiest site. No, and that became a whole issue because everyone was saying Ivanka Trump. You know, Judaism's holiest site is not the Kotel. The Kotel is a retaining wall of the Har HaBayit, of the Temple Mount. But the Temple Mount itself is holier than the Kotel. And everyone said, Ivanka, like, what are you doing? Now, obviously, just to defend Ivanka Trump, like, what she probably meant is that most often we think of the Kotel as the holiest site, because either we believe that it's not prudent to go up on Har HaBayit, even if it's permitted, or we believe that it's not permitted as a matter of halacha to go up on Har HaBayit, which is what we'll discuss, right? Which is a very contentious halachic issue. So, in all likelihood, Ivanka is not completely messing up over here, but nonetheless, let's use this as an opportunity to talk about the Har HaBayit. So the Mishnah in Kalim, right? The Mishnah in Kalim gives us gradations of Kedusha. And it says, Eser Kedushotain. There are 10 different levels of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshet Mikol Ha'aratzot. Okay? Point one. Eretz Yisrael has more sanctity than all lands in the world. That's fairly obvious. Mahi Kedushata. This is a very funny Mishnah, no? The Mishnah says that what is the holiness of Eretz Israel? So the Mishnah says that you could bring a carbon omer. Right? Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, no? Yeah. You can bring a carbon omer. You bring bikurim. Shavuos is coming up. That's the holiday of bikurim. You can bring omer, bikurim, and shtei halachem only from Eretz Israel. Now, is that true? Yes, it's true. The Mishnah says it. But presumably, if I would think of what marks Eretz Yisrael as being a very special holy place, I wouldn't think of Omer, Bikurim, and Shtei Halechem. I would think of Truma, Ma'aser, Shemitah, other things. For some reason, the Rav Soloveitchik worked hard on this. You could look in the introduction to the book Nefesh HaRab. Rav Soloveitchik has an explanation. But basically, Eretz Yisrael is holier than all countries. Then, Ayarot HaMukafot Choma Mimot Yehoshua Menun Mikudashot Mimena Shemeshach Mitochat HaMetzora In Misam Mitocha Meis Anche Yirtu Yotei Machzir Noso. Right, the next dimension of Kedusha beyond Eretz Yisrael are the walled cities inside Eretz Yisrael. The next dimension of Kedusha is Jerusalem inside the walls. Inside the walls of Jerusalem, you're allowed to eat certain karbanos, and you're allowed to eat ma'aser sheni inside the walls of Jerusalem. Then the Mishnah says, Har habayis mikudash mimenu, she'in zavim, zavos, nidos, v'yoldos, nichnosim l'sham. The Mishnah says that Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, no, is holier than the rest of Yerushalayim. Why? It's holier in the sense that people get thrown out of Har HaBayis. Now, who gets thrown out of Har HaBayis? What do we usually think? So we usually think that you're not allowed to go into Har HaBayis if you are Tamei, no? If you are impure. And what is the standard Tumah? If you're in contact, nebuch, unfortunately, with a corpse, right? So in that situation, but that's not what the Mishnah says. In fact, someone who is a tamei mate, someone who is in contact with a corpse, is allowed to go onto the Har HaBayit. You cannot go into Har HaBayit, however, if you have what we call in Halacha a Tum'ah HaYotze Migufo. If I have some impurity that emanates from my body.
So, Tzarat.
Not Tzarat. Tzarat is assumed to be something that comes from the outside. The Mishnah gives four examples. Okay, none of them are all that pleasant. Hi, Lottie, how are you? Right? The Mishnah gives four examples. Zavim, Zavos, Nidos, Yoldos. Right? A Zav, you should not know from this. A Zav is someone who has gonorrhea. It's really bad. Fat, disgusting. Right?
Yes.
A Zava is a woman who has a menstrual flow at an unusual time, and the halacha views that as being some sort of disease. And consequently, that's also a tumah hayotze migufo. A nida is a tumah hayotze migufo, and the yoledes. If you have a child, that's a tumah hayotze migufo. So what we're discussing is whether... What we're discussing is who is not allowed to go on the Temple Mount, and the Mishnah is very clear. The Mishnah says only if I have Tuma Hayotze Migufo, only if I have one of these ritual defilements that emerges from me, that comes out of my body. And the Rambam paskins this way. Look at the Rambam Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet. There's some discussion, by the way, whether a Baal Keri, that's a male who has a seminal emission, whether a Baal Keri is allowed to go on the Har HaBayis. Okay, that's a discussion. The Rambam paskins that you can, but the Rambam writes, a Tomei Meis, afilo hameis atzma, mutar lehikanes lahar habayis. A corpse. You're allowed to bring a corpse onto the Temple Mount. No? I do not recommend doing this. I do not recommend doing this. In all likelihood, the WAC will not be so happy with you. What?
A human corpse.
You're a human corpse. You're allowed to technically bring, I do not recommend doing this, but you're allowed to technically bring a human corpse onto Har HaBayit. Okay, so Har HaBayit, the only people who cannot go there are people with what we call Tumah Hayotze Migufo. That is stage one. Now, technically speaking, if you do not have a Tumah Hayotze Migufo, which is something that's relatively easy to fix, no? All you do is you go to the mikvah and you solve the problem. Technically, you're allowed to go on Har HaBayis. So what the heck is the big deal, Rabbi? Right? Why are we worried about this? Right? It's like a big issue about whether you're allowed to go on the Har HaBayis. What's the concern? So some say that maybe you should not go on the Har HaBayis if you are Tamei Meis, because you're allowed to be in the Har HaBayis, but you can't be in what we call the Azara. The Azara is the area actually where the Beis HaMikdash was. Remember, the Temple Mount was a mountain. And part of the Temple Mount was taken up by the temple. It's called the Temple Mount because it's the mountain where the temple was, right? Now, some say that since a Tamei Meis is not allowed to go into the area where the temple was, so you should not go up on the Har HaBayis. This is questionable whether this idea is correct. Obviously, halachically, you are allowed to go, and we're trying to say that you shouldn't do it. That's questionable. Am I allowed to make gezeiros today? Do rabbis have the authority to say don't do things? This is a large question about making gezeiros after the Gemara has concluded, but that's one possibility. Others suggest another reason why maybe we should not go up on the Temple Mount today, which is that although according to Torah law, we can solve our issues with being Tamei by going to the mikvah, but rabbinically, there's a new tumah called the tumah for an ignoramus. Now, don't think that, oh my gosh, ignoramus, the rabbis are being so mean, right? The answer is everyone is an Am HaAretz. To not be an Am HaAretz, according to Halacha, that means that you have to keep the rules of Tum and Tahara. You have to not eat any food that is defiled. Do you know anyone who does this? The most righteous, religious person you know, right? Go knock on their door and say, excuse me, do you move food that's tummy? They'll say, huh?
What are you talking about?
What you talking about, Willis? Like, right? They got that, like, what's going on here? Right? No. So, one could argue, based on this Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Tes Vav, that today, everyone has the status of tummy, and therefore, no one can go on the Har HaBayis, because everyone is a, rabbinically speaking, has the Tumah of a Zav. That's what Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank was the Rav in Yerushalayim. He was both a member of the Ada and he was a student of Rav Kook. He danced at all the weddings. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has this suggestion. Nonetheless, some say maybe you're allowed to go on the Har HaBayis today for a different reason. Is there any sanctity on the Temple Mount in the year 2017? What would you say? Is it a holy area or not? So anything that you could say, you'd be right.
Probably not.
What?
Probably not.
Why not?
So there's Tumah going on around.
So there's Tumah everywhere, Tumah, and therefore... Maybe. Or maybe the Temple Mount doesn't have sanctity... because the Temple Mount has sanctity because of the temple.
Right.
And today we don't have a temple, so maybe the Temple Mount doesn't have sanctity.
But on the other,
on the other hand,
one thing I was saying, you shouldn't go there because we don't know exactly
Wait. So we don't know exactly where the Beis HaMikdash is. Wait, we'll have to discuss. Right? In other words, there are, but one could argue that even the area where the Beis HaMikdash used to be, that's used to be, that's past tense, that's ancient history. And maybe today, these areas do not have sanctity. There's no Kedusha in the area where the temple used to be.
But, is that reversible? That's just because other people are doing God knows what all over it.
Or,
and they trashed it and defiled it and blah, blah, blah. You know, if we could get them the heck out of there...
Again, but practically speaking, one could argue that maybe there's no Kedusha on Har HaBayis today. This issue, like everything else in Judaism, is what we call a machlokes. Right? There's a dispute. A dispute between Maimonides and the Ravid. Right? The Ravid is Abraham ben David of Paskiers. No? And the Rambam have a machlokes about whether Har HaBayis has Kedusha. Now let's take a look at this Rambam. The Rambam paskins, Ko Makom, here, this is a Rambam, I forgot to give you the source. It's in Perek Vav of Beis HaBechira. Now Perek Vav Halach Yudalad. You see the Rambam begins Halach Yudalad. Ko Makom Shalo Naaseh B'chol Eilu Keseda Zeh Ein Kadosh Gomor. V'zeh Sha'asa Ezer Shtei Todos Zikaron Hu Sha'asa. Lo b'maisam niskadesh hamakom, shalha yisham lo melfa urim v'tumim. Right, the psukim in Ezra say that Ezra sanctified the city. Says the Rambam, he didn't really sanctify the city. Aye, so how was the city sanctified? B'min niskadesha, b'kdusha rishona, shekitcha shlomo, shahu kidesh hazar v'yushalayim l'shatan, b'kitcha nasad lovo. Says the Rambam, that Ezra did not sanctify Yerushalayim. Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, sanctified Yerushalayim a long time ago. And that Kedusha that Shlomo HaMelech put into the city, that Kedusha remains. And therefore, the Rambam writes, let's skip the Ravid, skip the whole area that I underlined. Lefikach, the Rambam writes, Makrivin HaKarbanot Kulan Af Api She'en Sham Bayit Banui. The Rambam writes, I'm allowed to offer karbanos today. You know there's always like some lunatic who brings a goat up to Har HaBayis like Erev Pesach and wants to slaughter it, no? I say lunatic in a not non-technical sense. You gotta be a little nutty to try this stunt. But, says the Rambam, you're allowed to bring korbanos, and you're allowed to eat kachim in the Azara even though it's destroyed, right? Etc. V'lama ani omer, halacha tazayin. Why do I say about the Beis HaMikdash and about Yerushalayim, that Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha la'asid lovo, Kedusha Sha'aretz Yisrael, for Shvi Yismaisus Kiyosibo, lo Kitcha la'asid lovo, Zok the Rambam, how come How come Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha? The Rambam holds that Shemitah today is rabbinic. Truma today, rabbinic. All of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, rabbinic. But the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is Torah law. Why is that, says the Rambam? The Rambam gives a beautiful answer. Look at the underlined parts. Lefisha Kedushat HaMikdash Yerushalayim Etnei HaShchina U'Shchina Eina B'Teila והרהו אומר בהשימותי את מקדשיכם ואמרו חכמים אפי ששוממין בקדושה סנהן עומדן. זאת the Rambam. There are two ways to sanctify something. You can sanctify the land by conquest. But you know what happens if you sanctify something by conquest? The moment you lose, the Kedusha dissipates. But the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, says the Rambam, is not Kedusha of conquest. It is Kedusha of Shechina, God's presence. And therefore, because it's Kedusha of Shechina, says the Rambam, Shechina ain't a betela. Yerushalayim's Kedusha remains forever. So Shlomo sanctified Yerushalayim, it remains, it remains, it remains. Azoi shteitin Rambam. So for the Rambam, Yerushalayim, Beis Har Habayis, has its Kedusha. Because that's Kedusha because of God's presence. The rest of Eretz Yisrael, its Kedusha is only because we fought a war. That's what the Rambam writes. Ravid jumps up and down, spits wood and nickels. Ravid says, Maimonides, what on earth are you smoking? Right? The Ravid says, look at this Ravid, underlined part. Let me read this. Viloyat is unbelievable. The rabbi, by the way, knew how to... He had like a good poison pen sometimes. Viloyadati me'ayin lo. I have no idea where he got this idea from. Right? That's the rabbi's question. Right? I don't know where he got it from. Ubekamakom is the Mishnah. Right? The main place in the Mishnah where the Mishnah says that without the Beis HaMikdash, the fruit rots. And says the rabbi, why would the fruit of Ma'aser Sheni have to rot? If the Rambam is right, that Yerushalayim still has its Kedusha. So therefore the Rambam goes on and goes on and goes on, and the Rambam says, you know what, even if you hold that Eretz Yisrael's Kedusha remains, but the Kedusha of Yerushalayim dissipates. Remember, the Rambam says Kedusha of Yerushalayim remains, Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael dissipates. The Rambam says, even if Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael remains, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim dissipates. Why? Because Shlomo knew, Ezra knew, that it would be destroyed. And when it would be destroyed, he decided, since he knew it would be destroyed, when he made the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, he only made it temporarily.
How did we know that?
Nevuah. Prophecy.
Who's Nevuah?
Ezra. When Ezra sanctified the city in the second temple, he knew the city would be destroyed. And therefore he only placed temporary Kedusha on it.
No, but how do we know that's what he did?
The Ravid tells me. That's what the Ravid surmises he did. He wasn't there. That's what he surmises. And then the Ravid writes, and this is amazing. La'ola, right? Here. Kach niglali misod Hashem li re'av. This is an unbelievable line. The rabbi said, this is what appeared to me as a God, as a secret from God to those who fear him. Lefika chanichnas atasham ein bo karet. Right? The rabbi says, I got a secret from God that was revealed to me, that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim no longer remains. And therefore, if you go into Yerushalayim today, there's no karet.
So he said, the rabbi does say,
so the Ravid says, Sod Hashem li re'av. God has a secret. So is the Ravid saying that the Ravid is a Navi? Now some understand, there is a whole literature about the Ravid lived in Provence, right? And at this time in Provence, Ravid died in 1197. No? Rambam dies in 1205, Ravid dies in 1197. In 1197 in Provence, they have already had Kabbalah for a full generation. The first Mekubal in Provence was a Jew named Rabbi Yitzchak Sagi Nahar. And perhaps the Ravid is giving something from what we would call the world of the heebie-jeebie, right? Which is Kabbalah stuff. And if that's what the Ravid is saying, so as a matter of halacha, we would dismiss this Ravid. Because, let's be honest, I do halacha, I don't do Kabbalah. That's point one. So the Ravid might be rejected on those grounds. The Ravid might be rejected also because maybe we should just paskin like the Rambam, not like the Ravid. In some say the Rambam wrote halacha everywhere, so we should always follow Rambam against Ravid because Ravid only has a few comments. And the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, if you turn to page 2, they basically say that we paskin like the Rambam, not like the Ravid. So now, let's unpackage this. Am I allowed to go on Har Habayis today? Right? Remember, rabbinically speaking, we are all Zav. Well, it depends. If you hold like the Rambam, Har Habayis has Kedusha. If you hold like the Ravid, Har Habayis doesn't have Kedusha. And if Har Habayis doesn't have Kedusha, then I'm allowed to go up on Har Habayis. That is what some argue. We'll talk about this in a few moments. However, a few things. It would seem like we passed like the Rambam, not like the Ravid, for various reasons. And I would contend that many make this argument that even the Ravid doesn't say you're allowed to go on Har Habayis. The Ravid says, if you go there, ein bo karet. You see that? I bolded it for you. Lefika hanichnas ata ein bo karet. Right? What does that mean? That means that if you go on Har Habayis, you don't die. Am I allowed to do it? Am I allowed to do that? Don't do it. Don't do it. If you do it, you're not going to die. It's not so bad. It's not like a mortal offense. You won't have your soul knocked off. Okay, a big whoop. Thank you very much. But should you do it, Julian? No way. Right? No way. That is it's dangerous. Yes. Hi. So, we'll talk about the politics in a few minutes, right? That's obviously a major component of this conversation, but right now we're talking theoretical halacha. Theoretical halacha is always interesting. You know, there's a great work of halacha called the Drishas Tzion, the Tzvi Heshkalasher, it was one of the early Zionists. And Tzvi Heshkalasher decided to come with a great idea. He said, you know what, let's just build a mizbeach. He heard that there's like a little rack under this dome, called the Dome of the Rack. Let's build a little altar right over there, and we'll offer karbanos. If the Rambam is correct that Yerushalayim still has Kedusha, it's going to be a Mizbeach. If the Ravid is correct that Yerushalayim doesn't have Kedusha, so then technically speaking, you ought to offer a karban whatever you want if there's no Kedusha to Yerushalayim. So let's build a Mizbeach right then and offer karban. Now, what Tzvi Heshkalasher didn't realize is ain't no one going to let you just build a Mizbeach on that rack. That's like prime real estate, no? Presumably, they're not going to let you build a mizbeach there. Okay, so now, the question as to whether you're allowed to go up on Har Habayis should depend on Machlokas Rambam and Ravid. What's interesting to note is that although the Magen Avraham died in, what did we say, in 1698, no? So even though the Magen Avraham writes, I think I forgot already. I'm losing my mind. But even though the Magen Avraham writes that we paskin like the Rambam, not like the Ravid, but the Meiri represented a digest. So Meiri gives you all halachic positions on the topic, and the Meiri quotes from the Gedolei Hamefarshim. Gedolei Hamefarshim is quote of Meiri for Ravid. He goes that the Ravid says you're allowed to go up on the Har Habayis today. And then he writes, Haminhag Pashut Likanes Sham Lefima Shashamanu. The Meiri says, I heard that the practice is that people go on Har Habayis. That's wild. The Meiri is reporting that I heard that Jews go up on the Har Habayis. Now that is twofold. A, it's assuming the Ravid. B, it's not reading the Ravid the way we read the Ravid. We read the Ravid that if you go up on Har Habayit, you don't die. Right? But, are you allowed to? Probably not. Now, there is an interesting tshuva I give you over here in Yabia Omer. Chacham Avadi Yosef. Chacham Avadi Yosef wrote this tshuva on Gimel Sivan Tavshin Chavzayin, the third day of Sivan 1967. Okay? We conquered Yerushalayim on the 28th day of Iyar. 5 days after we conquered Yerushalayim, Chacham Avadi Yosef sits down and he writes a teshuvah, are you allowed to go on to Har HaBayit? And he writes, V'hinei Ra'iti, look at this, Reb Chaim Hershenson, the Sefer Malki Bakodesh. Chaim Hershenson is a colorful individual. So he writes in his book, Malki Bakodesh, page 43, he tells a story. Sheviat Hasipur al Hasar Hat Sadik Rav Palim Remosha Montefiore Zal. Right? Moses Montefiore. He tells a story about the great Tzaddik who did lots of good things, which means lots of cash. Moses Montefiore. Shekasher Bala Eretz Yisrael Yachadim Rabbo Dr. Levi Bishnat Tafresh Chav Zayin. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, Nichnasul Makom HaMikdash. They went up to the Makom HaMikdash. They went up on the Temple Mount. Moses Montefiore went on the Temple Mount. Ukishanoda Adavah Berabim, Ba'az Hayyar B'Rishalayim, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe of Lissa, the son of the Chavistas and the Derech HaChaim. Right, when they found out about this, so Rabbi Yaakov Moshe of Lissa, the son of the great Goyin, the Chavistas. The Chavistas is Jacob Loberbaum, so this is his son. Lakach Shofar, V'taka B'chutzot Yerushalayim, V'nidat Hasar. Right? So what they did is, they put him in Chayrim. They put Montefiore in Chayrim. Moses Montefiore went up on the Har HaBayis, and when the rabbis in Yerushalayim found out about this, they take out their shofar, you are hereby excommunicated. They excommunicate him. So, this Montefiore had a lot of Yiras Shamayim, that's the way the story is told, and he goes with his teacher to the rabbis of Yerushalayim, and they apologize. They say, we did this innocently. We were following the Ravid. And the rabbis of Yerushalayim accept it, and they remove the excommunication. They remove the Cheirem on Montefiore. That's the story. Now, this story, right, and the way Chacham Avadi continues to talk about it, he says when they removed the chayim, it doesn't mean that they felt Montefiore is right. They just felt that because he was doing it innocently, he thought he was right, he doesn't deserve to be excommunicated. But you really should not go up on the Har HaBayit. And this has been the standard approach of... This has been the standard approach. The Rabbanut technically feels that you're not allowed to go on Har HaBayit, no? I have a friend who's really into going on Har HaBayit. We went to college together, and then we were in Smicha together, and every time I look at his Facebook page, he's like leading a tour of people up to Har HaBayit. According to the Rambam, Har HaBayit has Kedusha, and you really should not go on the Har HaBayit, because, rabbinically speaking at least, we have the status of someone who had a Tuma Hayotze Migufo. Now, there are a number of ways, however, of defending the practice to go on Har HaBayit. And I'll give you two of them. The last source I give you on the sheet over here tells me... I should add one thing. Some argue that there's another reason not to go on Har HaBayit based on the halacha of Mora HaMikdash. The halacha is that you're supposed to be scared of the Beit HaMikdash, and that's a gemara at the beginning of Yevamos. And the fear that I should have of Beit HaMikdash means I'm not supposed to walk around there aimlessly. And if you're just going to go up in a touristy sort of way, that would be a violation of, even if it's permitted, if you hold like the Ravid, and you hold like this version of the Ravid that's really permitted, but still you shouldn't go up in a touristy way, because even the Ravid holds that there's a din of Mora HaMikdash today. That is... another literature, most assume that that's correct. That even though the Ravid Paschal is low kitchela asud lavo, but nonetheless, the Ravid quotes his halacha Mora HaMikdash. Okay, that is what we see here in the seventh perek of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. But nonetheless, there are two ways of defending the practice of going on Har HaBayit today. One way is as follows. How large is the Temple Mount? Anyone know? Well, the Mishnah tells me it's supposed to be 500 amot by 500 amot. 500 amot is roughly the equivalent of 1,000 feet, let's say. 1,000 feet by 1,000 feet. If you would want to do... Again, I mentioned the Michiel Michal Tukhachinsky. He was a great Gaon. a great Gaon, and he also was very mathematical. And he gives you all the dimensions of the Dome of the Rock, and all the dimensions of the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount is about double the size of what it's supposed to be. The Mishnah says it's only 500 amot by 500 amot, but we know it is double that size. How did it get double that size? The answer is that Herod extended the Temple Mount. So much of what they call the Temple Mount today is absolutely nothing in Halacha. And Herod did not have the ability to extend Har HaBayis, or maybe, as the Arsameach says, Har HaBayis can't be extended at all. And therefore, maybe it's not called Har HaBayis. And some argue, Rabbi Chaim Michal Tukachinsky does all the math over here, assuming that the rock in the Dome of the Rock is the same rock upon which the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, etc. If you make that assumption, so then you can draw all your diagrams and try to figure out where stuff is, and there are going to be certain areas that you are definitely allowed to go to because these areas lack all sanctity. And that, I think, is what many people do today. They know where they can go, and the tour guides on Har HaBayit who take people up say, only go till here, don't go beyond. Because beyond is Har HaBayit. When they go up to the Temple Mount, but not to Har HaBayit. That's one argument. Another argument to permit it, and this gets more political, is as follows. My friend actually, Rabbi Daniel Stein, he's one of the Rebbeim in YU, he wrote some articles about this, and Rabbi Stein argues that, you know, the Gemara says that the repairmen we're allowed to go up on Har HaBayis in order to fix it. Even if I'm not a Kohen, let's say the Kodesh Kodashim is collapsing, so you could send the plasterers to go and fix it, no? So he makes the following argument. If you're allowed to go on Har HaBayis to fix it, so today, if we don't go to Har HaBayis, that means that we are giving up on the entire territory. That means that we are saying that the Jews don't have a right, that the holiest site in Judaism is the Kotel, not the Temple Mount. And that is more than fixing a plaster that fell down. His argument is that since the Gemara in Erevin says you're allowed to go even into the Kodesh Kodashim to fix it, so maybe you can go on Har HaBayit to maintain our presence. And you know what? That's not a bad argument. But then the question becomes how often you have to... And that's why it's a political question as much as a halachic question. There's a whole halachic literature. Can I go on the Har HaBayit or not? Well, it depends. They're like the Rambam, they're like the Ravid, right? Etc., like we discussed. But even if you hold this Kedusha, maybe you're allowed to go there to maintain our presence. That's what Rabbi Stein argues. And in order to maintain our presence, it's like the building is collapsing, you're allowed to be there. But if that's the case, you have to balance carefully how often you're allowed to go, etc. Not so simple. So the two real approaches to go up on Har HaBayit today, I would say, are either that you're not really going on Har HaBayit, you're going in this area which we know for sure lacks the sanctity. Alternatively, it's permitted in order to... fix the Har HaBayit. That's the argument. So the shir that we gave tonight again is today's the day after Yom Yerushalayim. So after Yom Yerushalayim, right, we had to confront questions that the Jewish people were not blessed to confront for a very long time. Right now, Har HaBayit Biyadinu, as Matagor said. Har HaBayit Biyadinu. Are we allowed to go? Right? Again, we handed it over to the Waqf, technically. Not such a great move. Today we had in YU, we had a Yom Yerushalayim Seuda, and they had this paratrooper who came, and he spoke about how he was climbing the Dome of the Rock to try to plant a flag on top of the Dome of the Rock, and they got a message from Moshe Dayan that that's not a good place to plant the flag. That this one... He was against taking the Otze entirely, and he was outvoted in the emergency Knesset meeting. I really have to return that book to you. It's fascinating. It's really good. Thank you. Thank you, Jolene. But the fact is, Har Habayit, right, is a serious question. Today people go up on Har Habayit. I would argue that it's as much a political calculus as it is a halachic one, based on what we're saying. Of course, there's halachic discussions. You can't say there's no halachic discussion about whether you're allowed to go on the Har Habayit. Right? It's a question. Rambam and Ravid, like we discussed. But if the heter to go on Har Habayit is because you're allowed as a non-Kohen even to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim to repair it. So now we're going on Har Habayit to like repair it, right? To keep it ours. So then that becomes a little bit of a political question. Okay, thank you for listening. Next week there's no shir because of Shavuos. And yeah, have a good evening.